This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with a friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I think it's time for an etiquette lesson.
Yes, each week you send us your questions about how to behave, and here to answer them this week is Shania Twain.
Oh my.
Hailed as the queen of country music, she is the biggest selling female country artist of all time. She's got 5 Grammys to show for it, including Best Country Album and also Best Country Song for her 1999 tune, You're Still the One.
Mm.
Shania's new album, titled Now, that's all capital letters, is her first in nearly 15 years. Here's the single, Life's About to Get Good.
Oh, life's about joy, life's about pain. It's all about forgiving and the will to walk away. I'm ready to be loved.
I feel so much happier now.
So, Shania, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So that song is called Life's About to Get Good. But before we talk about the future and how great it's going to be, let's talk about the present. You haven't released an album in 15 years. What brought you back?
Well, I wanted to come back earlier, much earlier. But I'd lost my voice for many years. I was bit by a tick in 2004 on the Up Tour. I did get Lyme disease from the tick bite.
Mm.
So after discovering that I'd had nerve damage and going through the physiotherapy and all of the research and everything that I had to do in this long uphill climb, I was finally able to record an album.
I can't think of anything more disturbing to a vocal artist than losing your voice. How did you react when that first happened?
I mean, devastating. I grieved for a very long time, just believing that I would never sing again. And I'd pretty much given up on it altogether and just figured, I love songwriting. I'm never going to give up on music. I will write songs for other voices to sing. But I won't be the recording artist. And it was, I guess, a survivor's way of looking at it, but it was still devastating.
Tell us about the moment where you were able to sing again, though.
There were little moments. They were just tiny little baby steps.
Mm.
You know, I would be doing my exercises, and then all of a sudden a note would actually come out the way I intended it to come out. And I'd be elated. I would be just like jumping for joy. And then I'd try it again, and it wouldn't be there. You know, it was one of those things. But I'm like, oh! Okay, it was there for a second. You know, that means that encouraged me to keep going. Like anything, you know, like learning how to walk again. I had to learn how to sing again entirely.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, in the time since you made your last album, I mean, you were a giant crossover hit back then, but it feels like the line between country and pop has blurred even more since then. What do you think distinguishes country music from pop these days?
I mean, for me, I can only speak personally. Industry-wise, I don't know, and I've never known. It's always been a mystery of how the industry determines a genre.
Hmm.
But I do think what drives country music at the core is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe what we've been currently trapped in that we weren't... Well, like when I was a kid listening to country music, I was listening to Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, and it was Tammy Wynette, and they weren't always singing about trucks and
swimming in rivers,
you know, tailgates and dirt roads and stuff. I mean, in fact, a lot of that language wasn't in hardly any of their songs. I mean, I'm sure there were, but they were more stories. You know, Kris Kristofferson, a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And so I feel that country is a soulful folk storytelling genre in a heartfelt way. Otherwise, I really wouldn't know how else to identify with it. I love acoustic instruments, but that's a personal thing. I mean, there's a lot of pop artists that use acoustic instruments too. So how do you determine that, right?
Yeah. Well, you're saying that you love acoustic instruments. We read that your son is a musician himself who primarily makes dance music.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, he does a variety of music, but as a fan of music, his favorite music to listen to is EDM. But he likes music in a different way, my son, than I do. He's listening for production and sounds. I guess he's more like his dad. He likes to build the music. So in my room, when I'm writing my songs, my mic is on. I've got my Pro Tools set up. And through my headset, I just, you know, I'm hearing this like, you know, on the other side of the wall. And I love the dance music, but because he's creating this music, he'll play the same 4 bars for an hour straight trying to get the right bass sound and the right drum sound and the right...
And you're like, do you know who paid for this house?
Oh,
like,
man.
By me, by writing these songs.
It's worse than just listening to kids listen to music. It's the same kick drum over for an hour.
Yeah. We were speaking a little bit earlier of some of your early music, some of which was in a way ahead of its time. You were doing these kind of like very strong female empowerment anthems, a lot of talk about gender equality. It feels like we're still talking about that in popular culture, that it's still an issue. How to you has the industry changed for better or worse in terms of women in the industry?
Well, I think as long as there are men and there are women, the issue will always be there. We're just different. So we're always going to have differences to argue about, debate about, and we need these differences. You know, we can't just all be one thing. So it makes great subject matter for music and things to talk about. Yeah.
Sure.
And we all have our point of view. But I like to address these things with a sense of humor. Like man, I feel like a woman, you know. I mean, I just, where I'm poking at that subject.
Yeah. Sure.
But with a sense of humor, and I think that's very important.
Well, you've succeeded. I've seen men lip syncing to Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
It's helping.
It's helping. Keep up the good work. Well, speaking of help,
yes.
We told our audience that you were going to be here to help them with some of their behavior problems, their etiquette dilemmas, and they responded. They were excited you're here. Are you ready to answer these questions?
I think so. I'm going to do my best here.
Good luck.
All right. So this first question comes from Ali via Instagram. And Ali wrote, Shania, what do you do when you're at a dinner party and you've been served a horrible meal? And then he also adds, can't wait to see you on the road next year.
That's very polite of you, Ali.
Well, I want to say thank you for that, first of all. Okay, what do I do at a dinner party? Well, it's happened. It happens to all of us, right?
Yeah.
Especially because I'm vegetarian. So if I'm served a big fat piece of steak, what am I going to do?
That must be tough as a country artist being like, sorry, I can't have your giant T-bone steak.
I know. Well, I think the best thing to always do is be polite and say at least what they do like. So I would just say, well, these are great mashed potatoes and I just wouldn't comment on the things that I decide not to eat on the plate. And I would, when I gave the plate back, I would say, you know, that was really great. I made the mistake of eating a big lunch. Couldn't finish.
There we go. I like that. That's okay to make a white lie in the service of
politeness.
I think it's important, to make people feel good about the fact that they gave you something. You know, they made that for you.
So lie, but be gracious.
Here's something from Amy Congdon from Canada.
There we go.
It's a big place, but she's somewhere in the country of Canada.
Okay.
Amy says, I was recently at a concert. At one point, a lady in my row stood up to dance. The couple behind her got very angry and created a scene because the dancer was blocking their view. Kind of ruined the concert for everyone. I thought the couple was out of line. Am I wrong?
Well, okay, so I'll just get to give you like a real quick backstory on my answer.
Okay. Yeah.
So my husband and I were at a classical concert, and I can't be at any musical concert without like jamming to the beat. It doesn't matter what the genre is. I'm not just gonna sit there like a robot. Forget it. You know, I've gotta like I wasn't like rocking out or anything, but I was
feeling it.
I was feeling it.
Was it Beethoven or something that you could really headbang to?
It was Tchaikovsky in this case.
That'll
so
do.
I would be like, you know, there's a lot of like punches and I respond when, you know, 60 violins all come in at the same time. It's amazing. So but I wasn't doing anything that should have bothered anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the lady beside me was like, would you stop doing that? It's very distracting. And I thought, like, I'm in my own space. This is the way I enjoy concerts.
Yeah.
So if the person that stood up was the only one in the whole place standing up, then maybe I would say the etiquette of that environment was to sit.
Of course. But if everybody leapt up at the beginning of the concert and it was kind of a standing concert.
That's it. And if you choose to sit, you're just going to have somebody blocking you and you got to suck it up.
It's your problem. I do love the idea of Shania Twain rocking out at a classical show, though. That's
absolutely. Cool. Making devil's horns to Tchaikovsky. That's forever live in my memory. Our last question comes from Lara. I think that's how it's pronounced, and you'll know why I'm unsure with this question. How do you correct someone who repeatedly mispronounces or misspells your name? I bet Shania and I have this problem in common, says Lara or Laura.
We do have this problem in common.
Do people still mispronounce your name, seriously?
Yeah.
What?
In Europe, I'm Shania. And I've just accepted it. So that's my advice.
That is literally the last way that I would ever pronounce your name.
Like, Shania. You don't know Italians, French, Germans, Shania.
Sounds nice.
Shania.
Yeah, that works. I mean, I'm okay with it. It doesn't really annoy me. So from somebody who's not annoyed by that, my advice is, it's a small problem to have in life, considering all the other more difficult problems that we have, like not remembering your name at all.
That is totally legit. Lara, there you go.
Shania Twain, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going out tonight.